Blog Talk Radio.
Black American woman to minister to over 4,000 people in South Africa. Oh.
Come on, put your hands together. How many of y'all coming out with your hands up? Everybody get your hands up. Get them up, get them up, get them up. Now look on the side of you and tell somebody this is a victory sign.
We're confident that we have the right person.
In August 2006, in the midst of unprecedented...
Thank you.
Yes, you did. You kept me. You never left. How in the name? Somebody said I'm healed by the wound in his side. In the name of Jesus, if the demons start to tremble, Jesus. Hey. Let me tell you what happens when you're called on Jesus. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Yes, they do. Do you know it?
Do you know?
Not only that, have you tried it?
Have you tried?
Well, if you tried it, do you have a report? Ain't he all right?
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you. They tremble at the name Jesus. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you for being on the prayer line tonight. We thank you for just being in your presence just one more time. All we have to do is call on the name Jesus. There's power in the name Jesus. There's authority in the name Jesus. There's an anointing in the name Jesus. There is deliverance in the name Jesus. Mm-mm-mm. Lord, we thank you tonight. Father God, we just thank you for another opportunity to be in your presence, to give you praise, to give you honor, to give you glory for what you have already done and what you're about to do in our life. Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory. We thank you for another opportunity. We pray that somebody on the prayer line would hear from you tonight. Father God, no matter how it comes through me or come through the man of God that's going to give the word tonight, whether it comes through however, Father God, a song, a testimony, Lord, we pray that somebody would hear you tonight, that they would be delivered, saved, and set free. We thank you one more time for just being able to be in your presence, and we pray that we would do something today that would glorify your name. So we just give you praise, we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. God bless everybody that called in tonight to the PWYP Open Forum Prayer Line. We just really, really are excited about what God is doing. And we thank God for you. And there's nothing too hard for God. God is in the saving business. He's in the healing business. He's in the delivering business. Whatever you need from God, he's ready to plead your case. Amen. So with that being said, let's turn this thing over to Carl Latimer for a few announcements about a few things that we have coming up. Then we'll go ahead and go and get into the word with Pastor Charles Holliday. If Sister Felicia hasn't called in at that time. But let's carry on with the program. Let's turn it over to Brother Carl Latimer. Amen.
Amen. All right. We hope everybody had a good weekend this weekend, this past weekend. And today is Monday, April the 11th, 2016. Another day the Lord has made. We're going to always, always rejoice and be glad in it. From Raphael Mack, from myself, from Felicia Nevels, from all of our regulars and all of our staff members, we just say welcome, welcome, welcome one more time on the PWYP Open Forum Prayer Line. We always honor all prayer requests. We always encourage good testimonies. At the end of the broadcast, feel free to hit one on your phone. We will open up your line. We will touch and agree with you and pray with you on anything that you may desire prayer for. And we also always say never hold your tongue back on a good testimony, for we are overcomers by our testimonies. One announcement I want to make is that next month, approximately 6 weeks from now, Saturday, May 21st, we'll be involved in the fourth annual Tangelo Park Give Back Day. This will be Saturday, May 21st from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Tangelo Park YMCA. This is a fun day. It's really for the kids, but it's for anybody who wants to come out, not just Tangelo Park residents, past and present. We're going to have free food out there. We're going to have some good music. We're going to have some vendors and some nice activities. We're trying to plan some stuff now to have some Christian dance groups come out there, the kids, to perform. We want to have a three-point shootout contest back there. Put that date in your head, probably 6 weeks from now, Saturday, May 21st, from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., depending on the fourth annual Tangelo Park Give Back Day. Please feel free to come out and join us. If you guys want to donate any kind of money, if you want to cook some food for us, side items, main dishes, or just come out and help us set up and serve or whatever, and just volunteer your time, your services, you can get in contact with myself or Raphael Mack either on this prayer line or either on Facebook. My personal cell phone number is on my Facebook page. You can go on there and get that. That's 407-435-2318. And also, the next announcement I want to make is Raphael and myself, we had planned on doing a show this upcoming Saturday on our Tangelo Park radio show. I was going to have my cousin, who is he's a speaker, you know what I'm saying? He speaks positivity. He talks good things. He's kind of a Les Brown type brother. And we're going to have my cousin on there, Zach Latimer. But because of certain things, we had to push that back. And we're going to look to do that show, that Tangelo Park radio show, sometime in the early part of May, probably the first weekend in May. We're going to verify that in the next day or two. And possibly on Wednesday's prayer line, I can have that date confirmed. So the Tangelo Park radio show will not be aired this Saturday with my cousin Zach Latimer. We're going to push that date, that show, back in the beginning of next month. But you guys look forward to that. We're going to talk about positive thinking, achieving your goals, and a whole bunch of other good things that can help you along your way in this life journey. So with that being said, I don't know if Miss Felicia is on the line. Is she on the line, Ralph?
No, she's not on, but I'm going to do a scripture reading from Isaiah 59, and then right after that, you'll hear from the man of the hour, Pastor Charles Holliday, with the word. Amen.
Amen. Okay, amen. Mm.
Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, and speak lies. They conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So without further ado, let's bring on the man of the hour. Once again, he is usually on our program on Mondays. We look forward to hearing a word from this brother, a good friend of ours. Sometimes we call him pastor, sometimes we call him coach, because he is the former director of the Tangelo Park YMCA. He is the former head coach of the Tangelo Park Tigers, Pop Warner football team, and several other sports as well. He is a great husband. He is a good father. He is a great grandfather. I mean, he's a great grandfather. He is very serious about living God's way, and he is currently the pastor of God's Way Church right here in the Central Florida, Greater Orlando area. So without further ado, it is an honor and a blessing to be able to introduce once again Pastor Charles Holliday.
Good evening. I hope that everybody had a blessed day. I hope you had a great weekend of worship, and enjoyed your fellowship in your local church. Couldn't help but pay close attention to the scripture that you were playing, Raphael. As much as that scripture was describing the state of Israel, the children of Israel and the Hebrew people, and what they were going through, their sin condition and their disobedience to God, I could not help but hear those words as if they were speaking to us today. Mm-hmm. We find ourselves in the very same state, the very same condition that God uses men and women of God to speak and preach, just like he did Moses, and yet instead people are still hard-headed, disobedient, doing their own thing, self-serving, and disobeying and ignoring God. I hope and pray that you listen very carefully to that scripture and even go back and read it and study it for yourself, because I do believe that is the condition of the world today. I have been on a journey. Well, before I say that, let me thank Neander Little. Once again, my family and I went out to the Relay for Life Walk for Cancer event. My grandkids just had a ball. Matter of fact, they didn't want to leave, and they were saying, "Papa, Papa, can we come here every week?" They thought it was something that you go to every week, you know, and they enjoyed themselves. We enjoyed ourselves, and it's a good call. So kudos to Miyanda again, as I often refer to her and call as the hardest man, working man and woman that I know of in Central Florida. So, again, and I did get an opportunity to see Brother Carl, Brother Lattimore. So, again, man, I just enjoy you guys, Ralph. I appreciate this opportunity as God continue to elevate me. And I don't care how high God take me and where I go. As long as I'm in town and available, I will always be accessible for the Practice What You Preach ministry. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I am on a journey as God has told me to show people how to live life His way. I've been working from a theme, a life live God's way. And I think I said to you over the last couple of weeks, anybody that has connected with me in person, by computer, we do some things on online, my radio show, this radio show, I believe that God is also showing you how to be a living example of a life live God's way. And we are the ones that God has chosen in these last days to be light in a dark place, to be a living example of the type of life that God wants His people to live. So don't take this lightly. Don't take these messages lightly. Tonight, God has led me back to a old familiar scripture, which is my favorite scripture in the entire Bible. There are lots of scriptures. I love the Word. I love the Bible, but I have favorite scriptures. But this is my favorite scripture. I believe that it is the key to life, or it at least holds the key to life. So I'm going to read for you Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. I'm going to deal primarily with 33. I have preached at least 20 messages from this verse, Matthew 6, 33. Not one of them have dealt with the same subject. Same text. Same verse, but different message. And I'll be honest with you, I'm to the point where I'm even like, God, what else can I get out of that? And He amazes me every time He shows me a different message in that verse. It is a very powerful verse, one that I would encourage you to read and study and make it at least one of your life, what I call life scriptures. And these are scriptures, man, that will light your fire, that will speak to you, that will reveal the nature of God, who you are, and what He wants you to do. This is an awesome, powerful scripture. Verses 25 through 32 will set everything up. As a matter of fact, if you really want to get more background, start at verse 1, Matthew 6, verse 1. Verse 1 all the way through verse 32 is really the background, the setup for verse 33. So I'm going to read 25 through 33. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on? Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, shall he not much more clothe you? And Jesus says at this point, O ye of little faith. He's trying to tell you something that I'm going to use as a topic in a few minutes. And he gets to the end of verse 30. He says, O ye of little faith. Hello? Hello?
We got you, Pastor. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah, I heard a beeping, so I didn't know whether that was the my phone going off or you going off. Okay, I'm still here then.
Yeah, you good.
All right.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So he goes on in verse 31 again and says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what withal shall we be clothed? And that's not me repeating what I said earlier. This is being repeated in the scripture. I was always taught anytime God says something more than once, you need to make sure you listen to it. So this is the second time Jesus said, take no thought for what you eat, what you drink, and what you wear. In verse 32, he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles see. Now, the Hebrews were God's chosen people. The Gentiles were those that were unbelievers. So that would be today, that would be like the saved people and the unsaved. So what Jesus is really saying, those that have not even confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they seek after these things. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. And then the last verse, verse 33, after he says, your heavenly Father knoweth what you need. He says, but seek ye first. But they tend to connect it to, and God said he'll give you all these things. They ride right over the second part. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness.
His righteousness.
So you can't just talk about seeking God's kingdom and then go straight to, and God said he would give you what you need or what you want or what you desire. Well, number one, I believe that you have to break down some things. So let's talk about some definitions. Number one, you see the word seek. And to seek means to try to find or discover by searching or by questioning. So Jesus is telling you that there's something in this scripture that you're going to have to do some work for. He has hidden literally in this scripture some golden nuggets to tell you how to live a godly life, how to live a kingdom life, how to live life God's way. So he says, but you seek first. The next word is first now. Before you do anything else, before you go anywhere, before you seek the doctor, before you seek the lawyer, before you seek the banker, before you seek your parents, before you seek your instructor, seek first the kingdom of God. And then we must know what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is God's rule and reign. It is all about God bringing salvation to a lost and dying world. If you remember when Jesus came to the earth, he came saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, you and I don't have to worry about that, because when Christ died on the cross, that's what ushered in the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is here. And what God is looking for is a group of people that will diligently seek him, Again, the word seek means to look for, to try to discover, searching, or by questioning. So what is it that God is telling us to search? We ought to search his word. We ought to search the scriptures. What are we looking for? We're looking for the kingdom of God. We're looking for what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God. God is trying to rule and reign in the hearts of his people. If you look at what we call the Lord's Prayer, we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And every time we pray that prayer, we're saying to God, God, let your kingdom come. And what we're saying is, God, come down. Come down to earth and rule in the heart and rule in the mind and rule in the soul of your people. But before God can rule in the hearts and the mind and the soul of his people, you and I have to do something that we don't want to do. We have to do something that becomes very difficult for the church folks to do, for the child of God to do, and that is to surrender. We love to sing songs, I give my life away. We love to sing songs. I think William McDowell sang another song, says, holding back nothing, or I hold nothing. I submit, I surrender, I give everything to God. And yet instead, we hold on to those things that we think that are so important to us in this life. Another word, as I told you, the kingdom of God is God's rule and his reign. Well, what does it mean to rule? It means to control. It means to govern. It means to have dominion over. Are we allowing God to rule our lives? Are we allowing God to govern everything that we do? Are we allowing God to have dominion over our lives? And then the word reign means to possess or to exercise sovereign power and authority. And God wants to rule and reign in our life. He wants to be number one in our life. He wants to be the top priority in our life. But yet instead, we are not allowing God to rule and to reign. I heard a pastor say on Saturday, and I thought this was, on Sunday, and I thought this was very interesting. He said, in order to live a kingdom life, in order for God to rule and reign in our life, that we have to have faith. And if I were to question a number of people, 99 out of 100 will say, I have faith. But most people don't have faith in God. And he proceeded to say they have faith in their own faith. And man, I don't know if you got that, but that was so powerful and so awesome, because I do find that many times, instead of us just trusting God, we're trying to figure this thing out. We're trying to fix it ourselves, and we don't do nothing but mess it up, because we're not God. We don't know everything. We didn't create ourselves. We don't know what's in store for us tomorrow, but God is a sovereign God. He's an all-powerful God. He's a God that knows all. He sees all. He's everywhere at all times. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you tomorrow. He knows the predicament that you're going to be in next week. He knows every circumstance that will take place in your life. I like to say that God is standing at the end of your life and trying to guide and direct you to where he is, because where he is at the end of your life is your destiny. The enemy does not want you to reach your destiny. So what Jesus is saying to us is that we are to seek. That means to diligently search, look for, question, do research, do whatever you have to find the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which stands for right standing with God. God wants us to be in right standing with him. He wants us to live according to his holy and sacred word. So here's a statement that I want to make, that I want to stick with you throughout the rest of this message. Seek the things of God as a priority over the things of the world. If you were to sum up Matthew 6:33, Jesus is trying to tell us, and the topic that I want to give to you tonight is, I got you. I believe in my heart that God is saying tonight, I got you. I believe that God is looking down at those of you that are on this, practice what you preach, radio show tonight, and he's seeing your life. He sees your family. He sees the situations on your job. He sees what's going on in your body. He sees your health issues. He sees your financial difficulties. He sees the bills that are piled up higher than the checks that are coming in. But God is saying tonight, I got you. There's a formula in this scripture tonight. If you would learn this formula, I promise you that God will take care of your need. But in order for you to take care, for God to take care of your need, there are some things that you got to do. And here's another statement before I tell you what those things are. If we take care of God's business as a priority, and that's why he said, seek first the kingdom of God. So God is saying, if you take care of my business as a priority, then I'll take care of your business. You won't have to worry about where you get money from. You won't have to worry about how you pay the bills. You won't have to worry about where your healing is coming from. You won't have to worry about how to discipline your children. God is trying to tell you, take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours. So the great question that I ask at this point is, if God is telling us to seek first his kingdom and to seek first his righteousness, what does that mean? And what does it mean to take care of God's business? I believe that taking care of God's business is summed up in five things. Now, there's much, much more to this, but you can sum it up in about five things. Number one, God is just saying that the number one thing that you have to do in order to be able to seek and find my kingdom and live the life that I want you to live and live a life of holiness so that I can add to you these things that you don't think I know that you need, but I know what you need. And if you would just do what I'm telling you to do, I'll add these things into your life. So number one, you have to develop a close, intimate love relationship with God. I don't care what we do. I don't care how hard we try. I don't care if your title is bishop, apostle. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many hours you spend in the Word of God. I don't care how long you stay on your knees. I don't care how many church services you attend. If you don't have a relationship with God, then you cannot accomplish the thing that God has created, designed, and called you to do in this world. You are important to God. God could snap his fingers. God could speak a word and solve every problem in this world. But God has chosen to use you and I. And God knows exactly what he's doing. Therefore, he's placed in you gifts and talents. He's placed in you an ability. He's given you passion. He's given you power. He protects you. He gives you provision. And he gives you one of the greatest things that God can ever give you, and that's peace of mind. Are seeking and searching the things of the world because we think that they're going to bring us peace and happiness and joy and prosperity. But the harder we seek, the more trouble we get into. The more we chase dollars, the worse shape our finances seem to get in. The more we ignore God and seek after power, fame, and fortune, the more we bring on disease and health issues. I'm not saying that everybody that's sick is sick because they're disobedient. But when we are disobedient, we open up the windows of our life and allow Satan to come in. And he'll come through the door. He'll come through the window. He'll sneak up under a crack. Any way he can get into your life, he'll come in. And I'm telling you tonight, you can close the door. You can close the window. You can slam the door on his tail. If you would simply develop close and deep and intimate love relationship with God, you have to spend time with God. We wake up every day and we rush out to work and we forget to get our marching order. God is standing there literally screaming and crying and hollering, hey, you didn't talk to me this morning. You didn't send him a laugh. You didn't let me put my arms around you and tell you how much I love you. You didn't let me show you the path, the road that you need to travel today. I see some things that you're going to encounter. I see some problems on your way today, and I want to tell you how to avoid those problems, but you don't take time to sit down and talk with me. You're so busy chasing that dollar that you get up, you sleep as long as you can. You wake up at the last minute. You jump in the shower. You take a bath. You brush your teeth. You put your clothes on, and I'm trying to talk to you, but you can't hear me because you're so busy getting ready. You jump in the car, and you speed off to work. And you wonder why. You wonder why your day goes so bad. You wonder why this happened. You wonder why your boss don't treat you right that day. Had you taken the time to sit down and talk to me, I'm not saying that you will avoid every problem, because sometimes God allows us to go through things so that we can learn a lesson, because God is trying to mold you and shape you into what he wants you to be. But we have to spend time with God. And in spending time with God, we have to quiet our mind. As I sit every morning and get in God's presence, and I put on worship music sometimes. Sometimes I simply open up the Bible. I believe that's the mouth of God. And I simply say, God, have your way in my life. Speak to me, God. Tell me what you want me to do today. And the enemy will cause you to think about everything in the world. And it takes you 5, 10, 15. It has taken me as much as an hour just to quiet my mind. So sometimes you can't sit for 5 minutes and think you're going to just hear from God. And if you don't hear anything, jump up and say, well, I tried. You got to practice the habit of dwelling in the presence of God. To dwell means to stay there. And when I first started practicing spending time with God, I told God, God, I want you to come in, God, and dwell with me and speak to me, God. And even when I get up from my time with you, God, wherever I go, God, let your presence go with me. No matter what I do, God, let your presence be with me, God. No matter what situation I encounter, let your presence be with me. Before I've learned that in the presence of God is everything that I need. And if I can dwell, I don't want God's presence to come and go. I don't want to be able to get in his presence today and can't find it tomorrow. Once I get into the presence of God, I want to dwell there. I want to stay there. I want to be there all day long. I want to be there even on the job. I want to be there no matter where I go, even at the ball game. I want to sense. I want to feel the presence of God. And I'm telling you, once you get there and once you experience it, you will want it. You will hunger for it. You will thirst for it. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And when you get into God's presence and he show you how great he is and how awesome he is, and he begins to pour into your heart and into your soul and into your mind his love, his power, and his spirit, you will walk away from there feeling so good that you won't even want to go out in the world. You want to stay up on the mountaintop. But we have to come down and go down in the valley and do work, God's work. And, yeah, it's dirty down there. It's stinking down there. You're going to get cursed out down there. You're going to get talked about down there. You're going to get stabbed in the back down there. They're going to talk about you like a dirty dog. But you got to come down off the mountain and do the work of God. And doing the work of God will get rough and tough. And that's why God says, don't get weary in well-doing. And sometimes you're going to run out of gas. That's why you got to go back up to the mountaintop. Get back on your knees. Put on your worship music. Begin to praise and shout, glory, hallelujah. Have your way, God. Do what you want to do in my life. Fill me, God. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your power. Let me see people the way that you see them, God, because you see them different than I see. And when you spend time with God, God will do all of those things. He'll talk to you. He'll share with you who he is and what he wants you to do. Then your job is to be obedient. It does us no good to sit in the presence of God and get up and go out and be just as disobedient as we were before we got into his presence. So number one is develop that close, intimate relationship with God. Number two is you must seek, find, and dwell in his presence. I've talked about that a little bit already, so I'm not going to stay there long. But notice I said, seek, find, and dwell. Again, seek means to search, to look for, to do it diligently. And you do it by searching or you do it by questioning. How many of us go to Bible study week after week after week after week and never ask a single question? I know we don't get it all the time. I know we don't understand everything that's being taught. You got to learn to raise your hand and ask questions. And I know the enemy whispers in your ear, if you ask that question, you're going to look like a fool. There's no stupid question. There's no foolish question. There's no question that's so out of line that you should not ask. God will answer any and every question that you ask if you are diligently seeking with your heart and with your mind and with your soul. Quit worrying about what people think. Quit worrying about what the people around you are going to think. You need to get the answer. You need to seek God's righteousness. And God wants to reveal to you who he is. He wants to reveal to you your purpose. He wants to reveal to you the way he wants you to live life. But the devil and people, and I hate to say this, but especially church folk, will make you think that if you say certain things, then they're going to look at you like you're a fool, like you're stupid, like you're ignorant, like you're dumb. So we sit in Bible study and we don't search. Notice what God is saying tonight. Seek. That's something you have to do. He's not going to do it for you. You have to seek. You have to search. You have to find what God has placed in his word. God inspired men like Paul and Timothy and Mark and Luke and Isaiah and all of the great prophets in the Bible. He inspired them to write you a 66-book love letter that explains to you who he is, what he's all about, what he wants you to do, how he wants you to live. But you have to read the letter. God loves you, and he does not want us to be spiritually ignorant. But if we don't read the book, if we don't read the letter, if we don't study the Bible, we will end up being spiritually ignorant and dying from spiritual starvation. And there are too many Christians walking around right now spiritually weak because they have not eaten a good spiritual meal. We eat solid food. We eat natural food 3, 4, 5 times a day, and sometimes we don't even eat one meal, one good helping of spiritual food. If we eat 3 times a day in the natural, we ought to eat 3 times a day in the spirit. So you've got to seek, find, and then dwell in the presence. Everything you need is in the presence of God. It's not in the world. It's not in the things of the world. It's not in your job. It's not in money. Matter of fact, we had an interesting conversation the other day. There's a lot of debate. There's a lot of argument going on about tithing. And I'm not going to get into tithing tonight. I do believe in tithing. I don't believe in all of the ways that is being taught in the church. And yes, there are pastors that are raping churches and taking advantage of them, and they're lining their pockets and wearing fine clothes and nice cars. But I believe that it's less than 10% of all pastors in the world that are doing that. And the ones that are doing it, they get magnified by the enemy. They get plastered all over the TV. But what about the men of God that are operating the smaller churches? I think of people that you might know, like Brother Willie King and Brother James Owen, and there are many others, but those are two names that came to my mind that are laboring in the word of God. They pray for you. They cry for you. They struggle when you struggle. God gives them a sense of your pain and your suffering, and sometimes they're up late at night, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, crying tears, and they don't even know why they're crying, but they're feeling your pain and they're feeling your labor. And yet it's sad because 1 to 10% of the pastors of this world are manipulating and misusing the church and the people of God. We claim or we say that all pastors are no good. It's not right. It's not fair, and the only person you are robbing is yourself. If you do that, you are robbing yourself. If you know that you are in a church and you have a man or line by line, precept by precept. They give you the scripture, and you can follow them on every point. Then you submit to that authority. You listen to that man, because God speaks through the word of God. And many times, because you and I, the man or woman in the congregation, will not open up the Bible and study for ourselves, then we rely on the man or woman of God to study, break it down, and bring it to you and feed you. Feed you with sometimes, what's that milk they call for the babies? Infant meal. Because you have not grown and you have not matured to the point where you can drink solid milk. Paul says, by now you ought to be teaching. I've been teaching you so long that by now you ought to know the word of God and you ought to be teaching. But yet and still, I still got to feed you milk. I can't give you bone. I can't give you meat because you're choking, you'll swallow. And I believe that the church is still in the same condition today. So we've got to seek, find, and dwell in God's presence. Third thing, seek his way of living. Seek his way of living. And once you find it, live it. And in order to seek it, you have to go to the word. God has revealed himself and his way in his word. That is why it's so important that I call this the three L's of God's word. You have to learn it, you have to love it, and then you got to live it. It's not enough to learn the word of God. I know people, some pastors, some church leaders, some regular church folk that can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. They don't have to open up the Bible. They know the chapter. They know the verse. They can give you the scripture and literally give it to you word by word. And yet instead, they don't love the word and they don't obey the word. What good is it to know the word if you're not going to love it? The word of God is probably the most important thing that God left us. It is who he is. It is Jesus Christ himself speaking to us, revealing to us the ways of God. And if we would only study it, he told us another key scripture in the word of God in Joshua 1 and 8. And he basically said that day and night, all night, as often as we can. And if we study it and learn it and apply it to our life, no matter where we go, you will have good success and you will prosper. God promised that to you. If you put Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you put Joshua 1 and 8 together to meditate on his word day and night, learn it and apply it to your life, you can't go wrong. There's nothing that the enemy can stop you from doing. You can accomplish anything that you want to accomplish as long as it lines up with the will of God. So get into your word, learn it, love it, and live it. The fourth thing, you got to seek his advice on all matters of life. We run to everybody but God. God created you. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows your purpose. He knows what you need to fulfill that purpose. Every situation, every problem, every circumstance you will ever encounter in this life, God has already fixed it. He's already solved it. So why are we running to people? I don't know if you've ever noticed or figured this out. When you go to the doctor, many times you sit in the doctor's room for an hour waiting on him to call you back. He calls you back, and he begins to ask you what's wrong. And you begin to tell him the symptoms that you're experiencing. Why is it that they get up and they're gone for 30 minutes? And many times they're researching what you told them. They're on the computer looking up the symptoms and the things that you said, and then they come back and prescribe a pill. Almost every time they come back and prescribe a pill. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I have my own personal beliefs about doctors and medicine and natural remedies, but I'm not trying to put my beliefs on you. But I am saying God says seek me first. If you're going to go to the doctor, get on your knees and say, God, right now I got a terrible headache. It's been going on for 7 days now. I can't get rid of it. I've taken aspirin. I've taken Advil. Lord, I need you to send me to the right doctor. I need you to guide me to a doctor that's going to find out what's wrong with me. Lord, I want to find a doctor that won't just hear my symptoms and medicate me. I want a doctor that's going to diagnose me and give me the right diagnosis and give me the right way to solve this problem. And, Lord, you know my financial situation. Send me to a doctor that's going to give me the right payment plan. And I'm telling you, I've done this. I've done the research. I've done this as a research project. And if you ask God, he will lead you and guide you and direct you if you are living holy and righteous. You see, remember what this scripture says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
When we seek God, make him the priority in our life. Put him first, and his righteousness means to be in right standing, which means you're living right. Then I'll add these things to your life. See, we trying to seek the kingdom and still living wrong. We trying to seek the kingdom and do what we want to do. We trying to seek the kingdom and live a selfish life, and you violated the contract that you had with God. God's contract says that if you seek my kingdom and put me first, learn how to live like my way and be faithful and obedient and be in right standing with me, then I will add what you need to your life. So we missing the righteousness part. I hope and pray tonight that you will get the formula that I told you that's in this scripture. And that formula is to seek the kingdom. Seek God's rule and reign in your life. Find God's way of living. Apply the principles to your life and live God's way. Line your life up with God's holy principles, which are found in his holy word. And when you do that, then you activate the power of God in this scripture. Then God will give you, notice what he said, I will add these things to your life. Right before 33, Jesus said that the Gentiles seek the things of the world, but my Father who is in heaven, he knows what you need. So right after that, that's what he says, but, in other words, he might as well have said, so, since my Father already know what you need, since my Father already know your situation, seeking the kingdom, you spend your time learning how to live life my Father's way. You spend your time lining up with the principles of the word of God and being in right standing with God, and my Father will add to your life everything that you need. The last thing that I believe is in taking care of God's business is to seek to share the gospel with all non-believers. Sometimes we get so busy with life, with the issues of life, with the circumstances of life. We get so busy trying to pay the bills. We get so busy trying to get healthy. We get so busy trying to find a better job. We get so busy trying to be promoted to the next level. We get so busy trying to get that financial increase that we forget that one of the main reasons God put us on this earth is to share the gospel. We're not responsible for people turning us down. And I know many people are afraid and intimidated by evangelism because of the fear of rejection. But God didn't tell you to save anybody. God never told you that you were going to save them. God, all he wants you to do is go and share the gospel. Go tell men, women, boys, and girls the good news of how my son died, my only son died on the cross, shed his blood. He allowed them to whip him and to beat him until he was unrecognizable. They bent him over the whipping pole, and they took a whip that had bone and steel at the end of that whip, and they gave him 39 lashes and literally ripped the skin off his flesh. He was unrecognizable. And even if you went to the movie that was called The Passion of Christ, which I believe is the closest thing to visually being able to see what he looked like, it still didn't do justice to how bad Jesus was whipped and beaten. They could not recognize him because his flesh had been ripped off. His skin, had been ripped off. And all there was flesh and blood. And they nailed into his hand, the nails that they nailed into his feet. He, as he pushed up, gravity pulled his lung down and literally suffocated him. So not only was he dying of excruciating pain, but he was suffocating because he could not breathe. And he would push up and have this just excruciating pain because he loves you and he loved me and he wanted to give his last 7 cents. How many of y'all went to church services on Easter Sunday or Good Friday where they gave the last 7 cents? You have no idea. We have no idea what it took for Jesus to push up and his lungs go down with gravity. And he began to drown in his own water, his own began to suffocate. But he pushed up and he endured the intensified pain so that he can speak a word to you and I. So that he can tell us that I'm dying that you may live. So that he can tell us that I'm going to a place where I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if you would just surrender your life to me, if you would give up your life and commit to living a life of living according to my Father's ways, my Father's principles, if you would just learn the principles that my Father inspired men to write in the Bible, then you too can come where I'm going, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. So again, in closing, God is saying tonight, I got you. I got you. But you have to meet the conditions in the scripture. You have to develop that relationship with me. And after you develop the relationship, begin to search and seek for the kingdom of God. Allow me to rule and reign in your life. I know sometimes it seems difficult, but God is not a evil dictator. The only reason he wants to rule and reign in your life is because he knows what's best for you. And even though it looks wrong, bad, maybe it looks like it's going to be a lot of pain and suffering, but God would never put more on you than you can bear. He would never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always there with you. He's always watching over you. He knows just when to take you out of the fire. He knows just when to put you back in the fire because you're not done yet. And he needs to burn off some more iniquity, burn off some more sin, burn off some more quick temper, burn off some more cursing, burn off some more nasty, no good mentality, burn off some selfishness, burn off some pride, all of those things that he needs to burn off so that you can be everything that he created you to be. Special. You are unique, and God loves you. He has a plan for your life that I couldn't begin to describe for you. That is why each and every one of us have to get into God's presence. He's not going to reveal to me what he has for you. He will use me to confirm what he's already said to you. That's why when people come to me and say, God told me to tell you, I run. Now, if God speaks through a man or a woman of God and give me a prophecy, and that prophecy confirms what God has already said to me, then I respect that man or woman as a prophet of God. But don't come tell me that God told you to tell me something he's never told me. Because that's not the way God operates. God does not put me on a pedestal because I'm a pastor. He's not going to speak to me more than he's going to speak to you. He may give me revelation that he wants me to share with you, but that's God speaking to you through me. That is why we have to quit disrespecting the man and woman of God. If you believe your pastor has not been called, if you believe your pastor does not study, if you believe your pastor is evil and wicked, if you believe your pastor's life don't line up the word of God, you have one or two things to do. Stay in that church and pray to God and ask God, what is your role to help this pastor to change his life? That don't mean you have the right to go tell the pastor what to do. God will lead you and guide you in a humble way, in a discreet way, on how you can help not only the pastor, but help that church to grow. Or pack your bags and go find you a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church and pastor. You do not have the right to stay in a church and condemn and criticize the church or the man of God. There is too much of that going on now. And when we do that, all we do is put a black eye on the church. If you don't trust him, if you don't believe her, pack your bag and go find somebody you trust and believe. But don't condemn. The man of God and the woman of God struggle as much as you do. We go through life just like you go through. The only difference between you and me is God has called me to preach his gospel. And the preaching of gospel, y'all, you don't understand. Just like Ralph, as the head of Practice What You Preach, man, you don't understand the attacks that come on the leaders of God's churches and God's ministry. The best thing that you can do is pray for God's leaders, because they are under serious attack. And sometimes it's temptation. And yes, sometimes it's their own sin. Sometimes they're tempted by their own lust. And it's hard and it's difficult. And we need prayer. We need help just like you do. That doesn't stop him or her from preaching the gospel. So I pray tonight that you got the message. And God again is saying, I got you. If you would line up with what I'm telling you, seek my kingdom, live holy and righteous, then everything you need, not everything you want now, but everything you need to live holy and righteous, and everything you need to do whatever I've called you to do, I got you. God has your back. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. If anybody on the prayer line that desire your prayer want to say something, hit one. I will open up your line. We're not going to keep you long, and I'm not going to keep going over if you want prayer. So pay attention. If you hear my voice now, I'm asking you if you desire your prayer or want prayer, now's the time for you to hit one, and I will open up your line. And I believe that everybody that's on this program got it. I believe you really got it this time. I believe you heard what the man of God was saying. I know that you probably felt something in your spirit, and you just saying, wow, that message was for me. And I think you got it this time. And if you got it, you're going to see God do some amazing things in your life. Start now, not tomorrow, not next week. Starting now. Amen. So I believe everybody on this program got what God was saying through the man of God tonight. I really do. I think you got it. You've been hearing the message. You've been studying the message and pondering on the message and meditating on the message. But today, for some reason, I believe you got it. Amen. But now at this time, if anybody desire your prayer or want to say something, hit one, and I will open up your line. Amen. If not, we're going to close out with a song like we always do every night. Amen. And we'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday night if the Lord say the same. Amen. 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 Hit one at this time, and I will open up your line. I'll give you about 5 or 6 seconds, and then we'll go ahead and close out. Right. Well, it appears that all minds and hearts are clear on the prayer line tonight. And now we're going to close out with a song. We'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday night if the Lord say the same. Amen. Good night.
Shabbat. To commend or to praise something or someone with a loud voice, with a loud, exuberant voice. So therefore, we come right now to Shabbat the Lord, our God. Train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he's old, he won't depart from it. For out of the mouth of the babe come perfected praise. We invite you to come and Shabbat the Lord with us. Come on and put those hands together as we begin to just praise and magnify the Lord our God. For he is worthy of our praise.
Hallelujah.
that you just can't seem to help yourself, that you just start to dancing. Hallelujah. David says, clap your hands, all you people, for God has triumphed gloriously. He's a great, awesome God. He's a mighty God. Wonderful counselor. Clap your hands. God. He reigns forever and ever. Glory, we give him praise. We've got the victory.
We are.